before the Lord this morning. Let's thank Him for the privilege of coming to His presence again. Let's thank Him for the joy of meeting with God for an encounter at Shiloh 2018. Let's thank Him. He brought us so He can bless us. Let's thank Him. Let's thank Him. Thank Him for the opening night. Thank Him for the Shiloh prayer hour. And thank Him right now for the hour of visitation. He is visiting you. He is visiting me. He is visiting all of us this morning. Thank Him and thank Him. Thank Him and thank Him. Everything that begins with thanks always end well. Father, thank you. In Jesus' precious name, we have given thanks. Amen. Holy Spirit of God, visit us this morning. Amen. Teach us this morning. Amen. Touch us this morning. Transform us this morning. Amen. Translate us this morning. Amen. Thank you for doing it. And all the saints of God in the house, say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Please get seated. Shiloh 2018. And I take dominion. As you have said it and it's here, so He will do it for you. I count it again a great privilege this morning, given by God's servant, my spiritual father, my mentor, the apostle over this commission, Bishop David Oyedepo. About 39 years ago, I was privileged to be registered in the school of the prophet under him. With him, as God's ordained principal in that school, and myself being a student, and 39 years after, I remain a student in that school of the prophet. And this morning, I'm given the privilege to do another teaching practice. Amen. So pray for me this morning that the teaching practice will be impactful, and everyone under the sound of my voice shall be blessed. I can't stop appreciating you, sir, again this morning. Thank you very much, sir. Amen. At Shiloh 2018, the rod of dominion shall be delivered to all of us. That is one of the prophecies that came to us last night. And I believe that it is so for all of us in Jesus' name. Please be reminded this morning as we go on with this teaching that we as children of God have heritage of dominion, first of all by creation. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 and 28. And God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them have. You don't negotiate for dominion, you have dominion. And God did as He said in verse 28. We also have our heritage of dominion by prophecy. Psalm 110 verses 1 and 2, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand and watch it, I will make your enemies thy footstool. And that will happen because I will send forth the rod of my strength out of Zion, which shall enable you to rule in the midst of your enemies. That will become somebody's story from now. And of course, by redemption, we have our heritage of dominion. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. And you and I, that he raised up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This morning, I have the privilege to teach on unveiling the dominion power of servanthood. And the focus of this teaching is to make us see how that through servanthood you can gain dominion. In this wise, if I may humbly add to the definition of dominion, to be, to mean, to have influence. Dominion means to have influence. You don't purchase influence. You have influence by service. The people you serve today will submit to your authority tomorrow. Stewardship or servanthood is platform for rulership. This is why you don't wish dominion, you don't wish rulership, you think stewardship, you plan, you practice servanthood so you can end in rulership. And the light of this teaching this morning, please understand that dominion is not a state. Dominion is a process that you grow into by the day. Only those who stoop to serve will rise to lead. Servanthood practically prepares us for rulership. Let's take from the wisdom of Jesus from scriptures this morning. Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 to 28. But Jesus called them unto him, just as he has called us this morning, and said, you know that in the system of the world, the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion. That's the way it works in this world. In this world, you want to impose yourself on people. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so in this kingdom. But whosoever want to be great among you, let him be your servant. So greatness is rooted in servanthood. And whosoever will be chief among you. And you know we have plenty of chiefs around Africa here. Local chief, high chief, super high chief. Everywhere. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. So, dominion can mean chiefdom. So, if you want to become a chief and have a chiefdom, you have to begin with service. If rulership is your desire, then servanthood is the demand. And Jesus concluded in that passage that look at me as an example. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to. That is, don't look for who will minister to you. But to minister
to a point that he gave his life a ransom. He gave his life. Something must go from you for authority to come to you. We're in the world of give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. And there are very few who say, take from me, take from me, take from me. Because it takes pain for people to take from you. It is the pain of taking from you that brings you the gain of rulership. The seed of dominion is nurtured in the soil of servanthood. The archery of dominion is there in the incubator. Stewardship is launching pad for leadership. The deeper you are in servanthood, the higher you climb in leadership. The deeper you are in servanthood, the higher you climb in leadership. There is no end to your leadership if you don't create an end for your servanthood. The more you serve, the greater you become. Jesus served till death, and now Jesus rules forever. Stewardship or servanthood is the established procedure for rulership. Established procedure. Please note that that is God's pattern for making us becoming great leaders, great influence, people of dominion. In this light, what is servanthood? Servanthood is a platform for adding value to others. Value addition is servanthood. If you are not adding value, you are not a servant. The mission of servants is to add value anywhere they find themselves, beginning from their homes. Value to your spouse. Value to your children. Value to your parents. Value in the neighborhood. Value in the church. If you are not adding value, you are not needed. If you are not adding to life, you don't fit to live. You are not fit to live. What is servanthood? Servanthood is making contributions anywhere you are, including your workplace. Why are you employed in a place? You are not employed primarily to be paid. You are employed to make contributions. Why am I employed under God's servant Bishop Oyedepo? To make contributions. To make contributions. Why are you a civil servant? To make contributions to your nation, to the system where you are working. All who wait to be paid will soon be paid off. And that's what happened to many people. They work in systems and all they are there for is a pay. And so they end up being paid and nothing has happened to them. You will never see somebody who added value to a place and is ever forgotten. What is servanthood? It is helping others to rise. Helping others to rise. You are up there. Like Jesus said, you are to bow to people, wash their feet, raise them up. If you don't raise people, you will soon be erased. Hear these employers, people in high places, all you do is to use people, pay them peanut when it's in your power to pay them well. Christmas is coming. Whereas they don't have to believe God for their pay, they are praying that God will touch your heart to pay them. You say there is no money, they see you celebrating your wife's birthday, buy a new car for her, not raising others. Your rising is secured in raising others. What is servanthood? I'm trying to go down to the grassroots so we can see how it applies to all of us. Servanthood means caring for others. Your fellow brethren in the church. Somebody is seated next to you and you can see all over him that he's not doing well, and all you did is to shake his hand and say, God bless you. Dominion. Amen. Caring for others. Being sensitive to the needs of people around you. What is servanthood? Accepting responsibility for the well-being of others. What is servanthood? Servanthood means rendering services without seeking gain. Rendering services without seeking gain. Unfortunately, most people put gain ahead of them. That's why they suffer pain. Gain mentality is slavery mentality. Business people, this is how to sustain your business. Don't put gain first. Put services first. Pastors, you want to see a growing church, an unending growing church. Seek to render service to the members, not what to gain from the members. If the only time the anointing moves on you is when they bring prophet offering to you, get ready, the church will soon shut down. At the onset of this church, God's servant with his Volkswagen Beetle, either by himself or he sends one or two of us to drop people at the junction after the close of the service. So the car was both private and official use and membership use. All round use. Now it has gone from Beetle, it grew from Beetle to Peugeot, and grew to another thing, Peugeot 406. Then from there to Peugeot 505, and then grew and grew, and many of us know where it has grown to now. Rendering services without seeking gain. Gain mentality is slavery mentality. Service mentality is dominion mentality. I'm emphasizing this because our systems, especially in Africa, has been destroyed. Gain consciousness. Some people say, I want to work in the government because I have opportunity to money, to access money. And that's why you see many people in the system today, all they are there for is what they will take, what they will steal. And sometimes they call it national cake. Today, people are looking for a job, and the first thing he wants to know is how much they will pay me. How much will they pay me? Not what value am I bringing into the system. Not what services am I rendering. Now, all of our covenant fathers made the difference because they were out there not seeking gain. Joseph was in the house of Potiphar. All he was there to was to add value to Potiphar's life, until Potiphar got to a point where he handed over everything to him. That's dominion. You serve your way to a point where everything is handed over to you. Abraham was not seeking for gain. In Genesis chapter 44, chapter 14, a time came when the king of the land needed help because enemies came and routed the entire city, took everything that they had, and Abraham harmed his trained men and went to war. And what was the outcome? He recovered all. And in verse 21, hear what the king said. And the king of Sodom said to the bride, give me the person and take, and take, and take, and take. And Abraham said, no, I will not take. I will not take anything from you. I didn't do this to be paid. I did this to serve. Come to Jacob. For a long time, Jacob was in slavery for 20 years. For as long as he kept negotiating for pay, he was in slavery. Until that day, he told Laban, I will not take anything from you. And immediately, God opened the door for him. In Genesis chapter 31, verse 41, to begin with, thus have I been 20 years in your house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters and 6 years for your cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times. You've changed my wages because I was busy negotiating. But look at what happened in chapter 30, verses 31 and 32. Jacob came to a point and said, when Laban asked, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou would do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flock. I will serve again. The God of reward is on the way coming. And in verse 33, he said, I know my righteousness, the service I render, shall answer for me in time to come. You cannot keep down or destroy a servant. And we know the end of the story. At the end of the day, everything was taken from Laban and converted unto Jacob. Servants may look like losers at the onset, but in the end, they become masters. They gain everything. Look at Daniel, or Joseph, in chapter 41, verse 33. After Joseph interpreted the dream, hear what he said. He took himself out of the way. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out for a man. Don't worry about me. That is discreet and wise. And set him over the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh answered the following verse. He said, who else are we to look for? For as much as God has shown you this thing, you are the one that will get the job done. See, servants don't struggle to be known. They don't struggle to be called. They don't struggle to be assigned. They stay in their corner doing what they should do. If you're a messenger in your office, do the messenger work well. When you are found worthy, they will raise you up. If you are an officer, do your officer's work well. Don't seek to pull down somebody with petitions in order to have his place, because his place cannot fit you. God has prepared a bigger place for you. Our covenant fathers were not looking for gain, yet they didn't miss a gain. Look for a man to do this job. And Pharaoh said, no, we have found a man in you. Servants are always found. I have found David, my servant. Look at Daniel, chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Very raw people. Slaves. Non-entities, so to say. For I have heard of thee, the king began to say to Daniel, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubt. Now if thou can read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet. and have chain of gold about your neck, and thou shalt be taught ruler in the kingdom. See Daniel's response. Then Daniel answered and said to the king, let your gifts be to yourself. I'm bigger than that. The best negotiation you can make is negotiation to serve. Look at that passage again. Keep your gift to yourself, yet I will read the writing unto you and make known unto you the interpretation. I'm here to help you. That's the mentality of servants. Am I saying that if you get a job, you should not negotiate for what you'll be paid? No. That's not what I'm saying. If you have opportunity to negotiate, negotiate. But beyond that, tell wherever you have been employed that they should give you time to see your worth and your value. Because what you may be negotiating for is far lower than your value. The truth is, you cannot pay a true servant. You cannot pay a genuine servant. You can't pay him. You can't pay him. And that's what happened to Daniel. If you read the story down the line, the king gave him far beyond what he was negotiating with him. Why? He was there to help. Today, if you are called to stand before president or prime minister of your nation, think about this, please. What occurs in the minds of many people, if they have notice, they will make a long list of what they want to ask for. That's the nature of man. But for all these, our covenant fathers, they were not there to take anything. They were there to help. To help. That is what servanthood stand for. To help. To help. If you are a house help, help. If you are a kitchen official, help your employer. Whatever you are doing, see yourself as an helper to the destiny of others. Stop looking for who to help you. Start looking for who to help. Many people pray today, Lord, send to me destiny helper. Why don't you pray, Lord, send me to be a destiny helper to somebody today? Because what you give will come back to you. Help somebody, others will help you. Raise somebody, others will raise you up. Give to somebody, others will give to you. That's servanthood. I've seen this work many times through God's servant. Some people will say, do you wonder how Bishop Wade could get so wealthy? You had him yesterday, I'm very wealthy. Oh, you don't know how many people visit him. Some of those big men that come to see him, do you know what they do for him? But the question you should ask is, do you know what he does for them? I have seen him. This is not exaggeration. I've seen him literally help people whose businesses are down in tons of millions. I have seen people who have medical issues being helped in thousands, tens of thousands of dollars. Sometimes, everything he had in his account. Rendering services to people. If you are taking and taking and taking from people, a time comes when there will be nothing to take from them again. That is, if they don't run away from you. You know why many people are comfortable in this church? Nobody put pressure on anybody. Nobody pressure any pastor here in this church. Any pastor that talks about offering more than 2 minutes is out of his job, because people are not called for what to collect from them. No, but life to give to them, blessing to transmit to them. Many years back, I was a church official in the high place in the government, had some issues. And we went with him to sort out the issues. And I called him to a corner. I said, in case the money with you finished, there's some money here. We are here to help you. Not that we are looking for what to take from you. Paul said, we are helpers of your destiny. From this Shiloh, God will make you helper of other people's destiny. Take yourself out of the way if you want to have your way. Take yourself out of the way if you want to have your way. Your relevance is in your value addition. Stop saying, who will bring for me? Start thinking, who will take from me? Servanthood decentralizes you. It takes you away from yourself. Now, quickly, more examples of men who commanded dominion through stewardship. Number one, of course, Abraham, our father. Genesis 26:24, Abraham was referred to as servant of God. Servant of God. Psalm 105, verses 6 and 42, Abraham, the servant of God. He served Lot to raise him up. When he was leaving the place where God asked him to leave, he took Lot, and Abraham took Lot. Chapter 12, verse 5. Is there anybody you are taking along to help in your life? Has anybody ever woken up in your house that, look, I slept in this person's house last night. Your doors are permanently shut with padlock. Has anybody ever taken a dress from you? Except for the ones that you covet from others. Brother, I like this, your shirt. It's so nice. All you are saying is, brother, give me this, your shirt. By the time you say two or three times, he knows where you are going to. He removes it and gives it to you so he can rest. He took Lot. God's servant Bishop Wedekwu has taken many of us. Took us. And they still taking more people. Taking them up with great joy. Many sons in ministry. Many daughters in ministry. Rising to his level without any concern. He prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah to be rescued. Abraham was a core servant. Today, Abraham's name is everywhere, generational name. Think of Moses. Moses, the servant of God. Numbers 12, verses 7 and 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. Moses, the servant of God, is dead. He served God's people at the risk of his life. A time came the people misbehaved, and God said, I will destroy them. Moses said, no, if you will destroy them, you will take my name out. What a strange leader. Yet now, if you will not forgive their sin, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. Blot my name off. That's what I'm living for. You destroyed 3 million people under my leadership? No, take my name off. How many of you have heard God's servant pray, Father, if you will not bless them, stop blessing me? That's servanthood. If you will not bless them, don't bless me again. And as a result, God is blessing you, and I am blessing him as well. What a way of getting blessed. When you pray for yourself, you pray, you become less. Focus on self reduces you to less. Focus on others enlarges your destiny. Moses ended as a man of dominion and influence in Israel. Egypt. Exodus 11:3. Another example was Joshua. Joshua chapter 1 verse 1, he was a servant. Numbers 11:28, Joshua was a servant. He ended as a ruler, even over the 70 elders. Numbers chapter 27 verses 15 to 20. Think about Job. Job served the people who could never have been able to pay him back. Job, my servant, God called him. To me, the greatest reference God can make to anyone is to call him a servant. All great people in the scriptures were addressed as servant by God. Job 29, verses 12 to 17. I was eye to the blind. I delivered the poor, the fatherless. I help them who are helpless. He served those who could not have had opportunity to give back to him. Unfortunately, today, we give only to people that can give back to us. That's what we're doing in the system. Paying bribe to people. Because we are expecting something back from them. That's why somebody is in power today. Everybody is bringing money to him while he's wide. When he's no longer in power, nobody knocks the door again. But Job did for people who couldn't pay him back. Serve people who can pay you back. What was the end of Job? He ended as the greatest in the land. Job chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Think about David. Psalm 89, verse 20 to 24. I found David, my servant. My oil is upon him. David risked his life to go and face Goliath as a servant. He was a servant to the core. Heart of service is what attracts anointing to perform. Heart of service is what attracts anointing to perform. I don't pray for anointing in a special way, as it were. I discover the more I serve, the more I'm anointed. David served, and at every point he was anointed, until the people beckoned to him. It was people who begged David to come and rule over them. He didn't apply to rule. Stop applying to rule. Stop addressing yourself as a ruler. Stop going about places and telling people, don't you know me? Giving them all your titles. Look at that passage, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 2. Read that with me very quickly. And also in time past, when Saul was king over us. Saul was king. He was your guy. But you were the one that led us out and brought us out of the chain of Goliath. Saul was king. You went to the field while he was in the palace. He was holding tight the stool. Nobody will take me from here. David said, let my life be taken. For the sake of these people, let my life be taken. You are the one that led us. That's what they said. And God has said, you'll be the one to feed the people and all of that. And in verse 4, look at what happened. They came. Verse 3. All the elders of Israel came to the king in Hebron. And the king David made a league with them at Hebron. And they anointed David as king over Israel. Now, there's a difference between being appointed and being accepted. There are many who are appointed today as rulers, but they are not accepted by the people. Saul was appointed. David was accepted. The difference, servanthood. Several other examples. You have this story of Elisha, who first took the mantle of service before he took the anointing for power. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 to 21. And in the New Testament, you have Paul the Apostle. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, the servant of God. May I close this way. The true trait of servants is one, selflessness. Jesus made himself of no reputation. Philippians chapter 5, verses 5. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. Selflessness. Selflessness. He made himself of zero reputation. Number 2, obedience. True servants are always obedient. Number 3, humility. Jesus was humble. Humble, took himself low. And number 4 is love. 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 Passion for God. Compassion for people. Please note that servanthood is a choice that each person has to make. Joshua 24:15. Philippians again 2:5-9. Jesus made the choice. He made himself low. And it takes the Holy Spirit to power this choice that you make. All of that you can study more in Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 4. Now, I stand in the shoes of my Father here. If you can, please stretch your hands here. I release upon you now the spirit of servanthood.
I release upon you this morning largeness of heart to serve. That grace is on this altar. That grace has guided this commission. That grace has brought expansion to this commission. Now, the same grace is released upon you right now. The same grace is released upon you right now. If you can, rise to your feet, give glory to God. If you have been blessed this morning, give Him the glory. Raise your hand, raise your voice, celebrate Him, give Him thanks, give Him thanks, give Him thanks, give Him thanks, give Him thanks. In Jesus' name. Choir, please lead us in praise.
Excellent, O God. Excellent, O God. Your name is excellent. Excellent, O God. Excellent, O God.
Excellent, O God.
And I take dominion. You are blessed by the word that just came, the uncommon word we just received this morning. Why not put your hands together for the Lord? With a shout, please take your seat. The second word will be coming up in a moment. The scripture says in Romans 1 verse 16 and 17, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to everyone that is expecting. What will empower that expectation into reality is the word of God that is coming. In verse 17, he said, that is the righteousness of God, the right standing of God. Where God stands, that's where, what the word reveals to us, from faith to faith. This morning, God will empower and perfect your expectation. You like to rise up on your feet as you lift up your voice and speak to the Lord this morning. As the word comes, Lord, empower my expectation. Lord, open my eyes to where you stand on this matter, on this matter. Oh Lord, empower my expectation, empower my expectation. See to it that I relocate to where you stand, oh God, this morning. Lift up your voice, speak to the Lord. Go ahead and speak to the Lord. Lord God of heavens, empower my expectation this morning. Lord, relocate me to where you stand on every one of these matters. Oh Lord, by your word this morning, empower me. By your word this morning, empower me, empower me, empower me. Bring my expectation to reality. In the name of Jesus, manebo sikalo velebo roboshia, makoti kalo brosie dihe, makataya marie susu barosede, ikutu barosha. In the name of Jesus, your expectations will become reality this morning. Bringing us the word, the second word this morning is Bishop Thomas Aremu. Can you please put your hands together for the Lord as we welcome him?
Hallelujah. Once again, lift up your two hands to heaven and let's appreciate the Lord for the word he brought to us in the first session. I'm sure something has happened to somebody by that word. Give thanks to God for what you have received. Lord, in that word, this is what I receive. This is what I encounter. Father, thank you for the word you have sent to us. It was the right word for this season. The sent word. The word in season. Lord, we bless your name. And whatsoever you have received from that word as a blessing shall be permanent. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord and please be seated. The word of God is coming to us again the second time. And I believe by this word, you are taking your journey, your adventure to dominion. In the name of Jesus Christ. Shiloh 2018. And I take dominion. So shall it be for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. I'm given the privilege by my Father and the Lord to bring to us unveiling dominion power of prayer and fasting. Unveiling the dominion power of prayer and fasting. I'm not taking this privilege for granted, and I'm grateful to God and to his servant for this great privilege to share the word of life with God's people. Thank you, sir. Hear it again, unfailing the dominion power of prayer and fasting. Dominion over hell is impossible without prayer and fasting. You can't use method to handle Satan. Neither can you use experience. He has been in the world for over 6,000 years. And how much and how many is your age? So put your age over at least minimum 6,000. And you will discover experience can't handle that man of sin. Grammar can't handle him. Education is too small to handle him. But I show you the mystery. The dominion power can handle him. And that dominion power you are receiving in this Shiloh 2018. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hear this, we are in the last day. The days of prayer and fasting in the body of Christ. He said, when the bridegroom is taken away, then they shall fast in those days. And this was quoted by the word of Jesus. It was quoted in Matthew 9, 14 to 15. The disciples were eating and feasting when Jesus was with them. And Jesus commented, you are free to be eating and drinking now, but when I'm taken up, you will need to fast. Mark 2, 18 to 20 also contain the same account. Luke 5, 33 to 35 contain the same account. I mean, verily, 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 I say unto you, praying and fasting is a core course in the kingdom. You either pass this or you keep repeating the same class. Prayer and fasting is not optional. I say it's not if I want to, I can. No, it's what you must. Because prayer and fasting is God's ordained platform for supernatural empowerment. Particularly when dominion, if dominion is your choice, that's what you want. Praying and fasting must be part of what you target to get into that dominion power. Unveiling the dominion power of prayer and fasting. We are also on the last day, the day of great happenings in the church. What eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not crossed the heart of anyone, is what God has prepared for the church. The world is yet to see anything about the church. We are just warming up. By the time there is full manifestation of the sons of God, even the world will know that without the church, nothing is impossible on this heart. Joel 2, 21 to 27. Fear not, O ye land, for the Lord will do great things. And he said, the years that cankerworm have eaten, he will restore. And the floor shall be full of wheat. And my people shall never be ashamed. We are in the day that shame and reproach will be far away from the church as east is far from the west. Because the dominion power of the church will make the devil to be caged. You know, when he's still walking about, we have not got much of Christians that have this power. A lot of Christians are just religious zealots. And may I say this, no power, no dominion. More power, more dominion. The only language the enemy understands, the devil understands, hell quivers, at is power. What do I call it? Shout it loud and clear. We are in the last day, the day of supernatural church growth. Micah 4, 1 to 3, Isaiah 2, 1 to 3. The mountain of the house of the Lord shall be exalted above all mountains, and all nations shall flow into it. And no church grow by mere wish. No church grow by activities. Every growing church is operating with dominion power. Because the forces that be in that environment doesn't want church. Don't you see? If there is a clubhouse, no complaint. They can make noise 24 hours. But the moment a church is open somewhere, they go and report to the council. There's one church here. It's disturbing us. Clubhouse, don't disturb them. But church, disturb them. So the church that will survive the tyranny of the wicked is a church with dominion power. And that is the church you belong to. Somebody shout hallelujah. We are also in the last day, the days of the rise of giants in the body. Rise of giants in the body of Christ. Obadiah 21. Saviors shall rise up from Mount Zion. Saviors. Saviors. That is nobles. Great ones. As contained in Jeremiah 30, 19 to 21. Nobles, governors, they come out of the church. Well, if we check all this provision for the last day, they would demand prayer and fasting for it to come into manifestation. The dominion of the church, the growth of the church, the rise of giants in the church, they would demand, they would place demand on the church, on you, for prayer and fasting. I want to say to you that prayer is not optional. And I want to say in this mountain, the prayer infirmity of somebody here would be healed in Shiloh 2018. And fasting deficiency will be eradicated in Shiloh 2018. In the name of Jesus. By the way, our Father and the Lord have described and defined dominion for us. But from other biblical perspective, let me define dominion as this. Dominion is duplicating God on the earth. Psalm 115, verse 16. Dominion is what? Duplicating God on the earth. Standing him for him. Where he should manifest. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's. But the heart has he given to who? The children of men, not to Satan. It's not the devil that holds this war. It's our Father's war. He created it and put out on it to exercise dominion. In Genesis 1:26, if we check very well, the first gift from a generous father was dominion. Dominion. God said, let us make man in our image. After our likeness, check the word likeness. That is, let him look like us. Let them look like us. And let them have what? Dominion. So that means when you have dominion power, you operate as God's on the earth. What is dominion? It is becoming an ambassador of Christ indeed on the earth. Indeed on the earth. Nobody around you will say, even if God comes down, I will now do this. You'll be able to tell him, shut up. God doesn't need to come down. I'm here. Are you hearing me? We have this experience. We wanted to buy land. And we got a lamp from one of the very known politicians in Kwara State. And after, one of the agents came that we must pay him agent's fee. I said, I don't know you. If you are my agent, I will know you. And when you are appointed or engaged to do that work. He said, no, we have to pay. I said, no, we are not paying. We went directly to the owner of the land. We have purchased the land. The land is ours. And when he was leaving my office, he fixed his eye on me. I said, Bishop Aremu, I will finish your money in this city. I said, okay, please go ahead. God is my witness. I didn't pray. I don't need to pray for that. Dominion power is not what you pray for on the instant. No, it's what you carry as a lifestyle. Are you hearing me? Because the devil will not give you notice when he will show up. And he can show up anytime. So this man went and took the church and also particularly me also to the court. And they serve us notice. Honestly, I didn't pray again. I didn't pray. The moment the case was mentioned in the church, the man began to swell up as a frog. And when the case was mentioned in his absence, it was struck out the same day. And somebody went to him and said, you are fighting with winners. I pity you. This is how you will die. And the man came to my office, assisted by others, including his lawyer. I said, you say I will see. He said, hey, Alagba. He was calling me Alagba. I was not more than 40 years that time. So dominion power makes you Alagba. It makes you an elder in the world of the spirit. I say you will finish me. Say, don't be angry. It's anger. You have to forgive me. He was rolling on the floor in my office, asking for forgiveness. So I looked at him for a while, because he needed to do that. So I faced the lawyer. I said, lawyer, you also took this kind of case? You know I can close down your practice in this city? He also prostrated. The lawyer said, I told him, he said we should try. Anyone who try you for nonsense will be fried by the fire of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Prayer put God in charge of your life. And in turn, he puts you in charge of the heart. That's what prayer does. Prayer is the hand that moves the hands that move the world. Prayers. That's why he said, pray without ceasing. There is a non-stop assignment. Because where you stop prayer is where the enemy begins to gain dominion. Pray without ceasing. Pray non-stop. Pray all the time. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17-18. Pray without ceasing. Non-stop. It's an eternal assignment. And it's a divine assignment. And that assignment was given by God. Pray without ceasing. Jesus came in Luke 18. He said, men ought always to pray. And not to faint. Because to faint is to fail. Pray without ceasing. Somebody is asking, how can I pray without ceasing? I'm engaged in my activity of the day. I go to office. It's an engagement of the heart. Engagement of where? I can be in the crowd and I'm still praying. Lord Jesus, inside my heart, take control. Give me utterance now. What do I say to these people? Inside my heart, have you forgotten? That woman said within herself, and the Holy Ghost pick it up. Prayer is not engagement of mouth. It is heart first. It is engagement of the heart. He said, who is this that engages heart to approach unto me? It's engagement of the heart. However, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So prayer is not making mouth. It is speaking the word that have been thoroughly incubated in your heart, bringing it to the throne of grace for performance and confirmation. That's what prayer is. Prayer starts from your inside to your outside, not from your outside to your inside. Prayers. A lot of prayer don't pass through the ceiling of where they are praying because it's only mouth-filled prayers. Not heartfelt, continuous, persistent prayers. Look at Hannah's prayer. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 13. Look at Hannah's prayer. What made the difference was the heart, not the mouth. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 13. Now Hannah, she spake where? In her heart. Is somebody speaking something in her heart right now? Only her lips move, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. The heart must be engaged continuously. And let me tell you something about the heart. If you do engage your heart continuously, the heart will engage itself foolishly. Haven't you experienced it? Some people are sitting here now and they are in their kitchen at home because the heart is not focused. If you don't give this heart assignment, he will pick anything from the dustbin and begin to celebrate it. Engagement of your heart for God is what distinguishes you in the school of dominion. It's not just engagement of the mouth. You are now speaking loud so that everybody will know you are praying. You are deceiving yourself. If it's not from your inside, it is not from God. It's not to God. Prayer is heart to heaven communication. In order to secure help and mercy from the throne of grace, it's heart to heaven communication. And in this kingdom, there are two voices. The voice of your heart. And the voice from your mouth. Where the voice from your heart is stronger than the voice from your mouth. What goes on in you is what affects mostly what happens around you. However, two are better than one. With your heart fully engaged, then confession can be made unto salvation. Now, if what you are speaking is from the depth of your heart, it becomes creative. When God said, let there be light, there was light. It was from the heart of God. It was from the purity of heaven. Let there be this. The prayer may be not be too long. It may be one sentence prayer. But the depth from where it's coming from determine the effect of it. And may the Lord give you understanding. In the name of Jesus Christ. What is fasting? What is what? What is fasting? Fasting is abstinence from food. Which is an expression of divine devotion. Abstinence from food and pleasures of this life. That one is determined by each person's circumstances. What constitutes pleasure for somebody is personal to him. Abstinent from food and from the pleasure of this life to, in order to seek the face of God. Abstinence. It's not the day of your fasting you answer everybody's telephone call. You are not serious. You, if you keep on asking everyone's telephone call, they will puncture your heart and spoil your heart. And your heart will begin to wander all about. And from disconnection of the heart, you miss it from the throne of grace. You like to hold this phone here, that phone here, answering phone. When it is day of fasting, you shut down. You are praying, you are fasting, you are still answering telephone call. So whom are you speaking to? Can you be before the governor of your state and be answering telephone call? They may even collect it from you before you enter. But people are so, they insult God. They assault God by their attitude. And they are counting days of fasting and prayer. To do what? To do what? A day of fasting, a day of prayer and fasting is a day of consecration to God. It's a day of consecration, focusing on God from your heart. In order to be empowered from above. And hear this, if prayer and fasting does not culminate in empowerment, as our Father and the Lord has taught us, it is a mere hunger strike. Because everybody that prayed and fasted in the Bible, they came back with power. Look for Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit after 40 days of praying and fasting. And look at dominion power. His fame spread. He began to cast out devil. He began to see fulfillment of prophecy. Why? Because he has been empowered from the prayer altar. And to let you know the dominion power of praying and fasting, Isaiah 58, verses 6 to 8. Isaiah 58, verses 6 to 8. It's not this the fast that I've chosen. This is my order of fasting, my kind of fasting that I will approve. To loose the band of wickedness. Can you see that? To undo the heavy burdens. To let the oppressed go free. And that you break every yoke. That's dominion. Is it not to exercise dominion power? And you can only exercise what you have. This is the fasting. Break every yoke. Deliver the oppressed. Set the captives free. That's fasting. That is fasting. That is fasting. That's a day to pick up somebody's matter in prayer. That is fasting. And look at what he said in verse 8. He said, if you do that kind of fasting, hey, then shall the light break forth as the morning. And the dominion of light over darkness is unquestionable. And the head shall spring forth speedily. And the righteousness shall go before thee. And the glory of the Lord shall be the reward. So even the dominion over the body is impossible without praying and fasting. The motion of the flesh will not allow you to be heavy. And spiritually, the feebleness of the body will just be there, holding you down. But what happened in the day of your fasting? You are subduing the flesh in order to give upper hand to your spirit man. You are energizing the dominion of the spirit and putting the flesh under. And when I talk about the flesh here, it means the senses, the five senses. That's all. Walking by the senses. That's flesh, walking by the flesh. And walking by the Holy Spirit. It's walking according to your spirit man. Because the spirit of man will be, is the candle of the law. So in the days of your fasting, the flesh is subdued. The flesh is caged. And the spirit man have an upper hand. And that's why after true fasting, you feel like flying. Are you hearing me? You are physically lighted. Your word flows freely. And you are not looking for what to say. Because the Spirit of God has interacted with your spirit, giving you supernatural utterance, which will lead to confirmation and performances. So, from now, grace to fast when you should, and now you should. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. So, man is a creature of dominion. Even the natural man, you see, is master and control the atmosphere, control the environment. You see what sciences have done? So, inside every man, there is a dominion deposit. But how much of it you see is how much you link up with God. So, everyone has within his natural inbuilt dominion. That's why, naturally, when a bird or an animal sees you, he moves backward. Even snakes, when he sees you, he moves backward because you have been given even the natural dominion. The snake that is facing you must be sent by Satan. Are you hearing me? The bird that is flying to come and hit your head, that's from another angle. But naturally, every creation of the heart is subjective to you or your appearance. So every man has the potential for dominion. But let me tell you one thing. The world gives you the potential. But it is prayer and fasting that now handed over the credential. Is that okay? You have the potential for dominion. Now, everything God has said about your dominion, as you take it to praying and fasting, it now becomes credential. You can't see potential. But when credential is given, it is touchable. Credence. So praying and fasting give credence to whatever God has given to you by creation or by your inheritance in Christ. Now, if you assume that because God has said you are a creature of dominion, have dominion, and you sit down without this God-given weapon, you discover you become an object of pity on the heart. Satan will mess you up and go scot-free. Even little problem, you will command it, it will not obey you. And the Lord give you understanding. In the name of Jesus Christ. Satan wants you to be disconnected from God. And from the beginning, God has given us the platform of praying and fasting to connect us with the supernatural. After Satan has succeeded in removing man from the Garden of Eden, he thought that was the end, that there's no basis for connection. But good news, man discovered God again on the prayer altar. In Genesis 4:26b, he said, man began to call upon the name of the Lord. That is, every time you feel disconnected, and to say to him also, there was born son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. That's where Satan began to miss it about man. He has separated man from his maker, and he thought it was conclusive. But God was able to move the man to call upon him. And whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that's where the salvation of man begin to start from. And then man begin to regain dominion on the heart. You remember those fallen people who said we'll build a tower whose top will reach heaven? And God said, these people will build it. Where did they get that from? From the dominion that was infested in them. Infested on them. So your disconnection from God is what rejoices the devil. But each time he sees you praying and fasting, he cannot calculate what next. So if fear a man or woman or a believer that pray and fasting, and if there's anything the devil wants to take from you, is that grace to fast and to pray. Because the prayerless can't handle the devil. Prayerlessness is what puts you under the control of hell and all his cohorts, which is will kill you without any problem. If you are prayerless, you will walk and walk and nothing will seem to be happening. If you are prayerless, people will steal from you and they will tell you, go and do your worst. Nothing will happen. And nothing will happen. You will be enchanted. You will be cursed. And the enemy will go scot-free for it. Why? Because of your powerlessness. But upon this mountain, before the close of Shiloh 2018, you are going home with dominion power. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. But let me say this. If you are coming to God, you come with purity of heart. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure, where? Not the pure in the face. For they shall see God. That is, they will see God in manifestation. So you want to come to God to pray and to fast, please, you have to download whatever is in your heart that is not consistent with God. And I will mention some of them. If I cherish iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Evil thoughts. Anger. You can't finish anger with somebody now and say, I'm going to pray. To who? Anger. Complaints. Murmuring. Pains of the heart. Of the past. Somebody offended you last year and you are still not seeing it in your heart till now. I will deal with that man. I will surely handle him. I'm just thinking of what to do. 1 year ago, you are not a candidate that will have dominion power in prayer and fasting. What do you do for you to pray effectively? Let God and let go. Let go. Offenses. Let go. Every time you are coming to God, you must be sure that you are coming with a free heart. Coming with what? Coming with what? A free heart. A heart that is alive to God. A heart with pure conscience. A heart that is not harboring malice and jealousy and envy. A heart that is not bitter. A heart that is not corrupted by sinful thoughts and imagination. And when you come that way, then you can come to God with purity of the heart. So watch what goes on in your heart before you come to God. God is not an anyhow God. You can't get him on your own time. You get God on his own time. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They do what? And God was saying, Proverbs 23:26. He said, my son, give me your heart. And Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it proceed the issue of life. Every issue, you want to pray, you want to fast, it begins from your heart. So guard it with all diligence. It's a hard work to put your heart on focus, to put it on God. And just within a little time of focusing on God, you begin to enjoy the inheritance of dominion power. Your life will never be the same again. In the name of Jesus Christ. And let me also say this. How do I exercise dominion for the day? Capture your night. What do I say? Capture your night. Capture your night. Capture your night. Capture your night. Be a watchman for God. Isaiah 62, 6 to the end. You that make mention of the law, give him no rest. Night and day, you call upon God. The night is not just for sleep. If you sleep all through the night, you will be attacked by Satan without permission. Matthew 13, 25, when men slept, the enemy came and sowed tears. So night is when you capture your day. And once you capture your day, then you exercise dominion when the day breaks. That's what Jesus did. He prayed all through the night. And by the time it was morning, he came up and began to exercise dominion. Luke 5, 16 to 17. Jesus was exercising dominion. In the night, Luke 6, 12 to 13, he prayed. And then he began to exercise dominion. And virtue was flowing out of him. And he healed them all. Are you hearing me? A great while before the day, Master, we go and pray. To capture your day, most of you have wasted your day by oversleeping. You sleep like Jonah. In fact, a wise man said, the moment you sleep more than 2-3 hours at a stretch, you cannot be free from demonic oppression. It's good to break your night and wake up to say something to God. You can sleep again after. Particularly between the hour of 12 midnight to 3 a.m. That's when the devil finishes you. Then you now wake up 7 o'clock, under shower. Oh Lord, be with me today. Oh. Satan say yes. The Lord give you understanding. May I say this to you? The wicked will do more wickedly, but you too, you must do righteously. Daniel 12:10. Are you ready to take this dominion power? It is your inheritance. It is yours for taking. And you can't miss it in Shiloh 2018. Stand on your feet where you are. Lord, I receive fresh grace to praise. Fresh grace to fast. Fresh grace. Fresh grace. I must go out of this Shiloh 2018 with dominion power. The devil that was over my head must come under the sole of my feet. Shiloh 2018 will deliver to me dominion power. Ask for grace to pray the more and fast the more. To pray your way and fast your way into greater dominion. As an aftermath of Shiloh 2018. And so shall it be for you. Receive fresh baptism of the Spirit of grace and supplication. And receive supernatural discipline to fast. In the name of Jesus. Every buying and selling in your heart now, I plead the blood of Jesus for purity of the heart. For focus of the heart. In the name of Jesus Christ. And so shall it be. Someone shout hallelujah. Shout it louder, hallelujah. Put your hand together for the Lord and please be seated.
Shiloh 2018. And I take dominion for that word of the Lord.